Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here. I'm so jazzed to be live in Tradecraft. This is a deep dive series that I have my buddy Robbie with me, who's our co-host, that we're doing three different podcasts, and this is episode two. And to tee this up, there's so many great people and so many great platforms to talk about. Around building science is the main conversation. But going all the way back to show 67, titled Bringing Community to the Construction Industry, released March 2nd of 2017. I hope everybody goes and listens to all these podcasts because we've worked really hard to weave them all together, but I know that's just not a reality. So if you don't get a chance to listen to the first episode where I highlighted Bryce Ballou, who was a big inspiration when he launched his building Tradecraft for me to, at the same time when I came to Tradecraft, our Grand Junction facility it was just really taken off, and we're like, what can we do to make something special? And we took a co-working and design center and put that all together, very similar to where we're live here at Tradecraft. And this episode two is going to be leading into tonight. Big shout out to my co-host Robbie, who has been running the BS and Beer, and we're going to be doing that live. So all these different podcasts coming together in these moments of time. And before we turn the mic on, we were talking through all the things to talk about, and Bryce said, you know what, Energize Denver, you know what you have to do? You have to say, how do you eat that elephant?
A bite at a time.
A bite at a time. And if I think back, I think you talked about that all the way back at the last show as well, because construction is not a one-sentence thing, right? And on the third episode, we're going to kind of flip the mic, and Robbie is going to be putting this on his platform as well, and he's going to be kind of interviewing me on the art of construction, because the whole thing is this is not Devin's podcast or Robbie's podcast, and you could get a taste of that on episode one. It's the art of construction, a whole community coming together to work together. And to niche in today is Bryce part two. The main message to convey is that what is Energize Denver? And I raise my hand to say, I've heard it. I live in Denver. My business is in Denver, and I don't know anything about it. And when I was here at the BS and Beer a couple months ago, I was talking with Bryce, and he's like, yeah, I'm really got a lot of stuff going around Energize Denver. And I'm like, we should do a podcast because I don't know anything about that. And that's what we're doing here today. And the whole thing about how this is going to benefit us all is we have to learn from forward-thinking programs of how we can utilize that in your business. So it's an honor to have you all here. And we're going to start by the speed round of getting to know Bryce all over again, all the way back from 2017. So thanks for having us in your facility here, Bryce. Let's start with the speed round and unpack this thing, huh?
Sounds good.
All right. What's your favorite beverage?
You know, I'm just an old-fashioned guy. You know, a bourbon old-fashioned is, especially now with the weather turning semi-cold, 50 degrees today. But
yeah, I love it.
Yep.
Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
I did the Ring Road in a camper van there for about 12 days. And did you guys see the volcano?
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
Opening up again? Yeah. So I saw one of those over there, but just it's like nowhere else on Earth.
Give us one story from that.
I was free diving in a glacier lake and was able to put my fin and my hand on two of the tectonic plates, but just the clearest, most drinkable water, and just amazing. Again, just out of this world.
Awesome. What is a favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction silos we're going to work on breaking down together that we passionately call the art of construction?
Hobbies. What are hobbies? We have businesses, man. What are hobbies? No, I'd have to say I really still enjoy just hiking 14ers. It's a way to, you know, just clear out your head and put on some good tunes and just focus on one step in front of the other, eventually, you know, getting to that goal.
Well, Bryce, what is your updated story or restory from being the founder of Tradecraft and now your new platform, Clean Tech Engineering?
So back in the days of COVID, we started to see, my business partner, Mike Wolf, and I started to see how indoor air quality was just such an important thing for businesses, for buildings, and how a lot of these older buildings were going to be needing to upgrade outdated HVAC systems and, you know, just a lot of their building technology in general. And fast forward to 2021, and that's when Denver passed the ordinance, and that's when they started funding Energize Denver. And so what we did is, you know, first we were testing things out on the Tradecraft building where we're at right now, needlepoint bipolar ionization, UV lights, things like that for cleaning air. And then we really started to dive into what is Energize Denver and how can we help building owners navigate a very complicated, convoluted, and ever-changing path.
All right. Well, lots to unpack there, right, Robbie? It's an honor to have you as our co-host. Can you recap our episode one and talk a little bit more about your platform as the Pragmatic Building Think Tank? And then I'm so glad I have you here as knowing a little bit more about this stuff to help answer some of these questions and talk about Energize Denver.
Well, thanks, Devin. Built Tank is what I call a pragmatic building think tank. And as I said last time, it basically gives me the ability to do whatever I want to do. But the objective is to get involved in projects that I think will help move the construction industry forward into more sustainable. I focus on residential, primarily residential buildings that are able to be mainstream as well. So we have a lot of people that are really passionate about energy efficiency and whatnot, but we need to be able to do it in a mainstream way that you know, the large production builders can do, the custom builders can do, that everyone can do. So that's really what I do. And one of the ways that I try to get the word out is through my podcast, the Build Tank Buildcast. To be able to get word out and talk to people that have similar interests and passions and whatnot.
Yeah, and I think that's an important part to say, well, my building's not that big, or I only do residential, or I only do that. I think you learn a lot by going into those other ways of doing stuff, and that's what I've really learned a lot by jumping into these other sectors. Bryce, let's start off by just talking through for the people who are not in Denver or people like me who are in Denver and own a building in Denver that don't know what Energize Denver is. What is Energize Denver?
So Energize Denver is specifically where we focus on is buildings 25,000 square foot and up. Those are commercial buildings. But it also applies to residential buildings, you know, on down below. And so what Denver wanted to do was essentially decrease energy use by about 30% just across the board. And so how they did that is through benchmarking and through Portfolio Manager on Energy Star. And that's where buildings upload their data, their square foot, their use, energy, and that spits out what's called an EUI, an energy use intensity score. And that goes back to Denver, and each building type has a different score. And what, so if you're an office building, you're one score, and if you're a laboratory or a data center, you're another score. So it's not just one size fits all. And what Denver decided is we're going to be in the 85th percentile of all buildings nationwide. And that's what all the buildings 25,000 square foot and larger have to hit by 2030. And so there's benchmarking that's done, you know, since 2019 and through current day. And then there's targets, interim targets, where all these buildings need to get through in 2025, 2027, and 2030. This was launched in 2021. The Denver City Council voted
on this. So I remember the 2021 is like, well, 2030, that's so far out there. And now here we are on the week before, right before 2024, and it's like, whoa, right before you knew it, that I forgot about that, and here we are, right? So I think that stuff, you set these benchmarks, and holy cow, it can go fast, right?
Hey, Bryce, I think it might be worthwhile to talk a little bit more about the energy intensity score, the EUI, because it's a score that allows us to evaluate and describe the building's energy use, but it's not that specific to the size of the building. So you're able to talk about the efficiency of a building of different sizes as well, so that although it might be an office building or a warehouse or whatnot, it's benchmarked on this scale to be able to say that in 2030 we want to be lower on that scale. Is that correct?
That's correct. And just depending on how far we really want to nerd out, which I can I love talking about. So it's not just a one size fits all as far as just office. So you could have a building that's, you know, 75% office and, you know, 10% retail, and then you've got parking associated with it. So it's the square footage of the building and the energy use over that building in all of its different uses. And then there's also where you can go in and different working hours or different computers or, you know, average workers per shift. You can get really granular with it. So it's really intended to be an accurate portrayal of a unique building, not just a building type that's out there. And then how do you get from where you're at right now to a target in the future?
And the other thing I think we should really emphasize here is that these, we're talking about existing buildings, and Denver has upgraded their energy codes on the commercial side and on the residential side, and they just launched their new energy code. But that isn't applicable to the buildings that we're talking about, right? The Energize Denver program is specific to existing buildings of a particular size.
Yes, but it's also going to be applying to any buildings coming online. And so even if a building was designed 2 years ago to those standards, it will still need to hit the 2030 standards for the building of its type and use.
That makes sense to me. But the new codes that they're building to, so if they started a building today, the new code that they would be building to, the energy code for commercial buildings, should be achieving 2030 goals or better. So my guess is that although they will have to continue to benchmark it, they probably won't, if they've executed things well, they probably won't have to do additional upgrades and whatnot.
But it is important to note that these are two different things. So Energize Denver is one thing, and then the building code and building permitting process is another.
Perfect. That's what I was getting at.
So those engineers should be aware of Energize Denver, and they really should be doing full energy models to make sure that it's going to hit those. But that's really something for building owners or developers to make sure that their AEC team is taking a look at.
And the disruptor in the room when we launched this, the market is very different as we're recording this right now as well. To say, as a building owner, I look at this and say, how much is this going to cost me and what work do I have to do this in conjunction with, I'm trying to work on selling materials to other buildings that don't pencil already. How do you put all this stuff together? And we have to get out of our own way and say, you know, what is the goal for Denver with this program?
Yeah, so Denver, we've spoken to many people on the Energize Denver Task Force, and their whole purpose is not to fine buildings. They don't want to levy these fines. They would like that money to go into upgrading the buildings so that they're achieving these targets. But what they're, it's, you know, the carrot and the stick.
Sure.
They've put out a lot of these incentives, and Xcel has had rebates, and, you know, there's financial ways to do these things, and a lot of building owners haven't taken advantage of that for one reason or another. And so what they're wanting to do is now really force the issue of, let's pay attention to this. But then, you know, they're also willing to listen. If there's a target adjustment or what they're calling a timeline adjustment. So if a building owner says, hey, look, we're going to get close, but we need a little bit more time. And here's why, and here's what our plan is. Denver wants to listen to that and work with building owners in order to do that.
So it's all about partnerships, which can get sticky at times, and being real about that. So I want to step in the background. I really want to learn and listen with the rest of the Art of Construction of Robbie. Can you go through and kind of talk through and like maybe get into a case studies or a few in there? And can Bryce, you kind of talk about like how are you getting involved in this program through Clean Tech Engineer?
So my background is a general contractor, construction manager. I've got a Class B license here in Denver, and my business partner is a mechanical engineer, and we came together and saw, you know, I've got a lot of experience with existing buildings. I've built tradecraft, I designed tradecraft, and so Mike can talk to it from the mechanical engineering side, and I can talk to it from a building owner and a landlord and a tenant, and what are the realities of all of those things coming together. So what we really want to do is work with those building owners and like we started the podcast off. Take a bite at a time. Let's just look at small actionable steps. And the more you know about a program like this, the less daunting it can be. Right now, you're seeing the target in 2030, and you're thinking, how am I ever going to do that with interest rates are rising and occupancies lowering, and you know this just isn't going to work. It's a perfect storm. Until you really start breaking the program down and seeing, well, let's try this over here, and then let's try this over here, and let's work with our tenants to, you know, adjust their behavior. And that's really what we're trying to do.
So is the city giving you guidelines on how to progress through the building? You start with benchmarking, but what happens after that? And can you explain what benchmarking is and why you're doing that?
Yeah, so benchmarking for all of these buildings should have been done already. So since 2019, or actually I think a little bit before, they should be uploading their data to Energy Star for their program, seeing where their score is at. But it really hasn't come into play with accountability or fines or really anything else. So what we do is for any building owner, we suggest that they do a re-benchmark and a target adjustment. Because what we're finding on a lot of these is, say you've got a building management company that's doing it for you. This is a very deep program. Like there's a lot to it. And so they're missing a few things. And it also, to do a target adjustment, you have to have basically be a PE. You have to have a stamp for it. There's a few other criteria. You can be on other things. So you can relook at where a building is at and make sure that you're measuring the right square footage, that you're taking into account parking, that your uses are correct. And you relook at an entire building footprint holistically and make sure that you're benchmarked correctly, and that your first targets and your uses are what they should be. That's just starting out. That's what every building owner should really take a look at, is don't assume somebody's been doing it correctly. Really dive in and make sure it's been done correctly.
Does the Energy Star portfolio manager require a detailed energy model?
No, it does not. It's really about, what are your uses? What are your square footage? And then what is the energy that is spread over that square footage and those uses? So it's pretty simple. I say that it's pretty simple once you have it set up correctly. And with Excel here in town, they can actually have all of the meter readings upload directly to the Energy Star portfolio manager. So building owners, property managers don't have to every month go in and submit that data. It's already done for them.
Do you know the typical benchmark score for buildings in Denver?
It's all over the place. We've seen buildings in the 400 or so, which is massive.
So higher this scale is the higher...
The higher the EUI is, the higher the energy use for that building. And we've seen a lot of the newer buildings, they're already hitting their targets. So it really ranges all over the place.
And so the target in 2030, is it fixed at a certain number?
It is for each building. Each building type is a really unique.
So part of the benchmarking is to determine the typology of that building and understand that so that it knows the target that it needs to achieve in 2030.
Right. And what we've seen with some of these buildings is we can move that target up. So, you know, it gets a little bit easier for these buildings in order to hit those goals.
Once you have its benchmark and you know the end goal, what kind of things are you seeing them having to do to achieve that goal? And does that include modeling and actual performance testing? And
it could. What we're recommending is for buildings that have a very large delta between where they're at and where they need to be, depending on their timeline, those are the buildings that really should be doing the ASHRAE 3 energy model to at least plan out a strategy of how are we going to get there, because these things don't happen overnight. These are everything from the engineering, pricing everything out, the permitting process, actually doing it. You've got lead times. So these things take quite a bit of time. So you want to know a strategy of how you're actually going to hit some of these targets out there. But for other buildings, if their delta is fairly small, there's a lot of low cost, no cost things that, that they can do if they're paying attention to their building. As you know, the LED lights is, you know, fastest payback and always the low hanging fruit. But it's temperature controls, it's building controls. It's not leaving doors open. So it's if they can, if building owners can start to impress upon their tenants, hey, your use is now going to be tracked. We're going to start sub-metering that and turn off your lights, use aux sensors, maybe adjust the temperature to not be running 24/7. Don't leave the doors open, you know, things like that.
So they're trying to address existing buildings, and the existing building might be insulated well or not. It might be, you know, have LED lighting or not. So I guess I'm trying to figure out how they're incentivizing builders or building owners to actually do something.
Well, there's the carrot and the stick. So the city has fines up on their website. So Energize Denver website, you can see a building's fines. And the larger your delta is between where you're at and where you need to be, those fines can be significant. We're talking hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars per year. And they get worse. And so the carrot is there's a lot of the rebates out there in Excel, but it's what building owners are going to be saving on the energy as well as not paying the fines.
And what's the overall goal for the city? Why are they doing this?
Reading the ordinance, it really dials into what the city has been tasked to do with decreasing emissions and increasing energy efficiency. So I'm not sure you would probably know the percentage that buildings attribute to CO2 emissions.
And yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
It's about 40%.
So that's one of the lower hanging fruits. I say that it is a large segment and a very complicated segment. But if you're going to start with, you know, addressing any kind of climate change and leaving a world for the next, you know, generations, this is a great place to start. But Energize Denver is in that area of, we know we need to do something. And then you've got building owners saying, okay, this is what I can do. And it's that negotiation back and forth of, we need action. I think everybody sees that we need to do something. And so it's just that discussion of what we can do and when and how it's implemented.
Yeah, it's articulated well, right? Of just reality versus what you have to do versus, you know, the carrot and the stick, exactly, right?
And what we've seen, I helped the city of Denver write their energy code for residential buildings. And what we learned in that process is that they've created their new climate action office and they have the climate action plan. And they're trying to figure out, the most difficult part of the equation is not the new buildings, because the building codes and the new generation of building codes are helping to guide better construction and better performance and less emissions and whatnot. But when you have an existing building or existing home or multifamily building, anything that's existing, how do you force or how do you incentivize somebody to do something to something that they own that's going to benefit the greater city or society or something? And I think they've come up with Energize Denver, and it's a great platform for that size building. But when you get under 25,000 square feet, and specifically when you get to residential structures, they are struggling with how do you get a resident who owns a home that might want to do an addition to the home to look at the existing structure as well and say, well, you really should upgrade that as well. And, you know, it's outside their budget probably, it's other things, but that's the difficulty that cities have right now. So I applaud you for jumping in on the Energize Denver program, but I'm hopeful that the city can figure it out for the buildings under 25,000 as well.
Well, it's like cannabis was for Colorado. The rest of the nation's going to be watching how Energize Denver plays out. A few other cities have tried it, but Denver's it really, really gone for it on this one. So it's going to take everybody to make it successful. If the standards are too tough, then it's not going to do anything. If they're too light, then, you know, building owners just aren't going to do anything. So it's again, that negotiation and that balance, but it's really going to take everybody from the engineers to the city to building owners of looking at it constructively, of saying, how can we do it, rather than just put up the defensive barriers, and whether there's lawsuits or whatever, just fighting it, saying, how is this feasible and how can we make it happen?
So Cleantech Engineering has developed a reporting mechanism, I guess, to help evaluate the houses and give a roadmap to these owners of these buildings for what they need to do?
Yeah, and we're focused on the buildings 25,000 square foot and larger, but we're attacking it more of an iterative process. You know, step one is that re-benchmark and target adjustment. Then we can, you know, go through and what are the low and no cost things for the buildings with the smaller deltas. But it's really just taking it a step at a time and informing a building owner of this is what this is and this is why we need to do this. And, you know, whether it's steps three or four, or whether it's an ASHRAE 2 or an ASHRAE 3, eventually you're going to go into where's your ROI, where's your timeline, how can we do this, and get that buy-in from a building owner of they understand it, it's palatable, they've had time to think about it, process it, bid it out, and really look at it from a holistic on a building as an investment.
Does the city care about it being cost effective?
So that's where the timeline adjustments or, you know, proving to the city, hey, this is an undue hardship. They're not just going to roll over. They really want to know that buildings have taken a look and said, you know, we can do this, 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 but it's going to take $3 million to energize or electrify my building, and it's only worth $5 million. That just doesn't pencil. And so Denver wants to know that they've done everything they can, and then they're willing to work with what is feasible. What they don't want is a building owner to just put their head in the sand and say, yeah, this isn't my problem, it's just going to be my tenants, or, you know, something like that. They want to actively work with building owners to figure out a path forward.
And how successful has Cleantech been at generating excitement about the program and moving people forward?
It's been really slow. We'll just being honest. We look up the buildings with the most fines, the biggest delta, and I've gone knocking on doors and said, "Here's your building. This isn't coming from me. I'm not the bearer of bad news. We're here to help. But here's your fines and coming up." And it kind of disappears in a hierarchy of bureaucracy because you've got a lot of either private equity firms that they own portfolios or investors that own portfolios. And it takes a while to get up to the decision makers. And then there's an education process with that where we didn't just come up with this. This has been out for a while. And so we're starting to see now investors, building owners are saying, okay, we get it. This is real. We don't really know what this is all about, and we're kind of mad about it, but what can we do? And we're just now in the last month or two really getting a lot of those discussions.
I think that's pretty typical in the construction industry where the cities open up the process to engagement and feedback and whatnot about programs that they want to implement. The construction industry doesn't get involved, and then when it starts getting implemented, they get angry. When it starts hitting their pocketbook, I guess.
And yeah, this one hasn't been so much on the construction side, but on the ownership and the investor side. It's been an interesting discussion.
Could you do me a solid and kind of just walk through like a case study, like the report? You know, obviously this is an audio podcast, but just someone listen to say, okay, if I did say I want Cleantech come do a report for my building of, could you just kind of walk through like what kind of charts, graphs, what you do?
Yeah. So first things first is we're going to go on the Energize Denver website, see where they're at. And we're going to sit down with the building owner and say, okay, here's where you're at. And it's that educational process. Here's what the program is. And here's what we've seen with other buildings. And so then we're going to get them to share their portfolio manager on Energy Star. They share that with us. We make sure that all the meters are there, that the information's correct. One of the things we're finding is some property managers are using rentable square footage or just whatever they can find on the building drawings. And with Energy Star, you're allowed to go dimensions to outside edge of perimeter wall. And so even that can add another 10% of square footage. And so it's the same amount of energy to a building, but it's spread over a larger area. And so we'll go in and take a look at all these things as well as the uses.
Yeah, and they need to know how to use the tools, hence they need a clean tech to help them.
You mean the wall matters?
It does. Amazing, right?
I just think that's really ironic, but really important if you think about the situation here of like how people get the information and how they're measuring the data with the information that they're getting.
And so we'll work and go through, you know, remeasuring the building. We use that as evidence because you have to submit that into Denver. So once we get through everything, we'll sit back down with the building owner and say, here's what we found. And in some cases, we're able to decrease that delta. Where we just had one company, they were going to have a $383,000 fine in 2025. And we took that down to zero just because of how we measured the uses. We integrated parking.
I think they'd be interested in learning about
that. Yeah, it was a pretty good ROI for having us out for a few hours of work. But then there was another building that we took on that we thought it was going to be just easy peasy. And everything that could have gone wrong on that building from a previous benchmarking did go wrong. They got the square footage wrong. They got the uses wrong. They didn't include the right parking. They subtracted off a lot of their energy for different uses, which you're not allowed to do. They even had another meter on site that the landlord didn't even know about. And so we had to track that down through Excel and get the right authorizations for that. So that took another 2 months. So it can go really smooth, or it can be a 2-3 month process. But at the end of it, you want the right information, because eventually, this is a really key part. So if you've had your property manager or somebody benchmarking along the way, there's a third party that has to come in and stamp it and do an audit in the years 2025, 2027, and 2030. So even if you've been pretty liberal with, you know, we're a restaurant. Well, no, you're not. You're food service. And those are two wildly different things. You're going to have a professional engineer come in to do an audit to say, yep, this is all correct. And there might be a few buildings out there that get tripped up when that happens, and it's already too late. The fines are going to be there.
Yeah, I think that's what I've been hearing, is that 2025 date is looming out there, and that's when the fines become real, I guess.
Yeah, we have 12 months, essentially, to do whatever a building's going to do. And then as of January 1st, 2025, those fines start accruing. So if your building is still energy inefficient, those fines will start accruing month by month and just get worse.
And so you said you had the successful experience of working with a building owner and mitigating or eliminating any potential fine. How much of that money is going, that would have gone to a fine, is going back into the building to...
Well, they already did a lot with their building. They did geothermal. They already had in the process to do LED lights for their entire parking lot. So they were pretty forward-thinking on it. And that's what Denver wants, is they don't want the fines out there, and these guys were already doing what they needed to.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is... business owners, as we're recording this and right here at the end of 2024, where it's kind of budget season going into 2025, you better know your local municipalities and understand the carrot and the stick of where you put your budgets to run a successful business, so that you don't be the one on the back end of this deal. And the kind of big call to action for me of all these podcasts is, it's not the Devin Tilley podcast, it's the Art of Construction. And you better, wherever you're at in the globe, understanding, if you're involved, you better know how that community works and what programs worked to, and use them to your benefit. And you better innovate as a group, and you better find people like in our local community, Bryce, who is our go-to person. If anybody has a building over 25,000 square feet, that's going to be step one for me is, do you understand Energize Denver? If you're in Denver and you're 25,000 square feet, if you don't, call Bryce, and we commend you for stepping up to be a master facilitator of this part of the whole thing, just like Robbie is kind of focused in on residential projects versus commercial projects. But we can really learn and help each other from that. And that's really what I hope people are hearing and getting out of this, to where it's really scary if you just put your blinders on and don't pay attention to how the things are moving.
Yeah. Going to be a lot of unintended consequences and difficult conversations with investors or building owners for property managers.
Because I would assume when you're door knocking on these people who are at the ones who really need the most help, you're going in the front door and the people that you're talking to are not the decision makers. And they say, that's scary, but do the people who even know at the decision maker level? And that's the hard part, Robbie, what you talked about at the beginning of, you make these policies and plans and construction doesn't pay attention until they need to.
I think it goes back to what you just said, the point being that we need to understand the goals of these different municipalities. And it's harder in Colorado because we're a home rule state. Each municipality might have different goals and different climate action plans that they're creating, you know, up and down the Front Range and across the state. Whereas in other states, it's more centralized at the state level, and the municipalities have to carry it out. But we can't blame the cities. We really have to blame ourselves if we're not paying attention. And that, I think your call to action, which you just said, was to pay attention to what your municipalities are doing.
Yeah, if you're building, you better understand where you're building at and know how the municipalities work. Like, period. Like, and I raise my hand and call myself out as I probably don't pay close enough attention to that until you kind of get to, like, for me, as I got a letter, you have to have all LED lightings. And the CFO who runs the bill says, Devin, we got to replace all the lights in our building. I said, no, we don't. We already did all that. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, we already did all the LED lighting. And then it's going and find the paperwork and figuring that out. But like, understanding, that sounds like such a simple thing, but the people that run these businesses inside of that, that's not, what is all LED lighting or not, right?
Well, it's that, but it's also, think of all the other regulations that buildings have to comply with, or the property managers, or the contractors. As Robbie said, you know, the permitting process in Arvada is different than Thornton, different than Denver, different. So there's a lot out there, and it would be really easy for something like this to kind of just slip under the radar. So Devin, I applaud you for getting the word out there and letting people know that this is something that's coming.
Yeah. Thanks. And you had said you had lunch with, you know, the municipalities are coming out and meeting with you saying, hey, let's figure out if you're going to step up and run this, let's be, how can we help each other to do that, right? They've been coming into Tradecraft, where you've built this great community here where people can come learn and work together, to where you really have to lean into this stuff and see it as, how do I help me and the world and the municipalities? How do we all move forward instead of, I'm never going to build in Denver, I'm selling everything? And like, because there's a lot of unfortunate conversations happening around Denver right now when I go around the city, versus let's lean into this thing. And we all have to come together to figure it out, because this is where we live and do business, right?
Well, there's that, but anytime there's programs like this, or, you know, there's fear or uncertainty, there's a reshuffling and there's opportunity. And so you've got to look at that and, you know, really decide to either lean into that or, you know, put your hands up and sell.
Well, as we work to close this thing out, the question we always ask on every podcast, as we're really dedicated on the art of construction, is to connect the right construction technologies and products to the right handshakes. What is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction?
I think it's got to be addressing the skilled labor shortage. And so I think that's probably going to happen with more off-site construction and then on-site installation. It's going to be a kit of parts. It's going to be as simple as Legos. How that happens, that's going to be a very, very long process.
I agree. And half of our podcasts are on that vein. So if you're new here, you could go back and listen to a lot of people talking about what we call the system-built revolution. And it's taking these systems of knowing your municipality and knowing experts like Robbie and coming together to say, how do we put the systems in place so we can blend on-site and off-site construction? Because everything comes from somewhere to the site. And the reality is it's just a pile of junk that we throw together a few times in a lot of cases, right? And then we say, what? I don't care. Just throw the lights in. And then they come and say, where's your LED light paperwork, right? So we have to figure all that stuff out. I totally agree.
And I would just add real quick to Bryce's crystal ball there that what he's doing and what other independents are doing is taking advantage of energy modeling or other types of building modeling. And a phrase that I heard recently that I think is just awesome is this idea of modeling quick and failing quick so that you can succeed in the long run. Because your model is going to tell you if you're on the right track or not. And if you don't invest that small amount in a consultant that can do that energy modeling or other type of modeling for you, you're going to go down the wrong path and you're going to end up spending more money and potentially fail. Whereas if you fail quickly in the model, you can move forward quickly and succeed.
I love that. And the final question we always ask, Bryce, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates out there listening to go out and crush it and grow their business?
I'd say the one thing is figure out what you're really good at, what you're passionate about, nerding out about, and find a niche doing that so that it's not just the lowest cost provider or you're not out there competing with just everybody and anybody. Figure out what your competitive advantage is of you personally or the team that you've built and really just hammer away on that.
And along the lines of the conversation we said today, right? Like you've been a building owner, engineer, you got fully involved in this Energize Denver. Why?
I'm going to add again here.
I love it. No, that's what I was going to say. Robbie, bring us home. It's an honor to have you as a co-host on this journey. I commend you and thank you for allowing me to jump into your BS and beer. And we talk about building science and a few other things after we have a few beers. And Bryce, it's been awesome coming back here. It's been a few years. So Robbie, bring us home and then we're going to have a live podcast and tell us what we're going to do on the next podcast as well as we close this out.
Yeah, I was just going to say real quick that I think another opportunity that we have is to embrace the change. We're in an industry that is so reluctant to embrace something different. And you see the opportunity, Bryce's company, CleanTech, has embraced this change that is hard for the construction industry and seeing it as an opportunity rather than something to obstruct and fight against. And I think that's really commendable for your company and is a kind of a pathway, I think, for the construction industry could follow there.
Awesome. And then on the last one, we're going to flip and you're going to ask me a few questions about windows and your audience here, right?
Yeah, we're excited to come to BS and Beer tonight, hosted at Tradecraft Industries, Bryce's other business here. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Mountain View Windows and the art of construction and what BS and Beer is, so we can describe that in a little bit more depth. And then we're going to open it up to some building science questions from the folks that are coming to have a discussion about building science.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for stepping up to these conversations.
Thanks a lot for having me.